And we've been hearing again about how Black parents give their kids the talk, how to behave if you're stopped by a police officer. I'm white. I've had the talk with Black nephews. Keep your hands on the wheel. Say yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We're in a moment when kids are seeing videos of Black men shot by police. They're seeing Blacks and whites protesting those incidents, also seeing police officers gunned down by a Black man. What do parents say? Let's start with older kids. Kevin Washington is president of the Association of Black Psychologists and assistant professor of psychology at Howard University. He joins us by Skype from Shreveport, Louisiana. And Professor, we know Black parents who are mourning the police who are shot. They'd never want their kids to be violent. But they also believe something like Dallas may have been inevitable because of emotions about police brutality elsewhere. How do you start that talk?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's very important for us to do is to be able to clearly articulate what are some of the challenges that we are having to talk about. And there are microaggressions. Some call it bigotry. Some call it the psychological duress of the enslavement legacy. And it's so challenging because you mentioned something about follow the rules, right? Put your hands on the wheel. Say yes, sir, no, sir. All of those things that we are taught to do, which means then we're not living in a free space, because there was a recent piece released by the Unitarian Church, which talks about just get home safely, which means then that parents and the children are living in a persistent zone of trauma. And so as a Black psychologist, we're developing this optimal Black parenting modular series. And so we talk about teaching children about the history and legacy of what it means to be in America as Black, enslavement, Jim Crow laws. And then to more importantly, try to deal with the issues of how do you move beyond those confining thoughts. I think that the socialization is a subtle, some we even call it a subconscious process. I have a now 13-year-old daughter who was, I think, about seven, asked the question one day when she was watching television commercials, Daddy, what do you think, how do you think white girls would feel if all the dolls on television were Black? So she was beginning to understand certain values about socialization. So we have to talk about racism and racial issues and again, white supremacy concepts, because they are very much a part of the fabric of this country. And how much is too much? How soon is too soon? It's a very touchy topic. But to be able to subtly talk about not only the history lesson, but to talk about the historical context of this and the cultural reality, something inside of you that is so great that allows you to be able to overcome these things at all costs.
Well, it's a conversation that white parents will have with, can have with their children as well. You know, this is the state of our world right now. There's residue from those times, and some people are suffering. Then we also have people mourning the shooting deaths of five police officers.
Yes, there are several layers to this process, and we have not done a good enough job of identifying and dealing with racial ideology and its repercussions. And so when we say Black Lives Matter, somebody comes back and says all lives matter. When we say we can't breathe, somebody says I can breathe. And so this continuing process of not allowing the full voice of a population to be heard further exacerbates the frustration, and everybody still is hurting because one group doesn't want to hear because they feel blamed. The other group says, wait a minute, but you're not hearing me because this is my experience. And so we talk about how do you share your experience. And so the experience is, yes, I'm in pain. Yes, I feel numb. Yes, I feel confused. Can you please help and guide me through this process? And that's what parents are there for, to help guide children to say, here is a reality. Let me guide you through this. And here's what I know. And be willing to have the talk and not be afraid of it. Individuals can indeed have an expression of anger, that it is okay to get mad. The question becomes, how do you direct that energy in a manner that is going to make an impact? And to begin to engage in destructive behavior is not going to oftentimes lead you to the results that you want to encounter. However, I must recognize this, is that if you are stepping on my toe, and I say, ouch, I'm not the problem here. It is time for you to move your foot from my foot so that we can begin to have a healthy conversation. And if you do not respond accordingly, then I have to do what I have to do to be able to move you. How do we talk to children about that? Well, we don't want them to be violent. When you are faced with this kind of situation, you must be able to understand who you are and what you're all about. Understand that you are greater than the situation that you encounter. And so allow the adults to be able to deal with the situation as they can deal with it, but we do not have to always resort to violence, because violence is only going to beget violence.
Kevin Washington, president of the Association of Black Psychologists, assistant professor of psychology at Howard University. Professor Washington, thank you.
Thank you.
So what about little kids? Dr. Camille Cooper is the director of teaching, learning, and development at the Comer School Development Program at the Yale Child Study Center. Dr. Cooper, what about young children?
Well, first, it's important for young children to feel physically and psychologically safe, helping them understand that they are loved. Listen to what your child is asking you about and answer those questions as honestly and openly as you can without going overboard.
That's important. Don't start talking at them when they may not even be on that page yet.
Right. And they may want to limit their access to news programs that are showing these scenes over and over again. Let their children draw pictures about, you know, how they're feeling. This is a way that you can see where they are emotionally. Yeah. But with young children, it's most important for them to feel safe. They're very egocentric, and they're concerned about themselves.
Well, and there was a little girl in the car where the woman videotaped the aftermath of the shooting of Philando Castile. There was a 15-year-old son who broke down on television. His father was killed in Baton Rouge. But there were also police who shielded children in Dallas when the shooter was shooting.
Right. That is something that you can convey to young children, that these are tragedies, and we don't all understand everything behind these tragedies. Sometimes the parents have anxiety around these issues themselves, and they can project that onto their children.
And by the way, when you say tell them it's a tragedy, can you just say, you know, that that's sad?
Right.
Yeah.
And as adults, there are things that we have to work out.
But you say do tell them, even little children, if they ask, that while police are there to protect us, there are some maybe who don't. I mean, how do you approach that?
I'm very concerned about villainizing either the police or to villainize the African-American men that are being killed. I prefer to talk about, you know, it is a tragedy and that adults are working through these issues to try to decrease the tragedies.
But broadly, it's very sad and you're safe.
And you're safe. I think there are some things that parents can do proactively through reading children's literature. They may want to make particular notice of bedtime, helping children feel safe and secure. They can draw pictures, do more exercise. We all know that exercise is good for stress, but to be proactive in those areas.
And by the way, at what age should African-American parents, in your opinion, start having the conversations that we were just talking about, the talk, so that they can protect themselves? And when is it too early and you might do some damage or frighten them?
Right. Well, I think it's really on a continuum. You need to have conversations as they are developing and growing to help children understand. Some people have hesitancies, concerns, fear around people that are different, that as a family, we see different as special and unique. You know, there's lots of rich literature that you can read to your children over time that deal with these very delicate issues. The 100-penny box, in that box, there are some historical items that the family has kept over time that are significant in terms of historical events that have happened to African-American families. There are other titles that over time families can read to their children that very gently introduce these concepts of race and the fact that there is a differentness that some people have some challenges with.
Well, and that's such a great way to put it. Other people have the challenge with it. Dr. Camille Cooper, Director of Teaching, Learning, and Development at the Comer School Development Program at the Yale Child Study Center, and we'll have her other recommendations for books at herenow.org. Dr. Cooper, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me and giving me an opportunity to shed some light on this very delicate topic.